Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 10 of the Empowered Together Network show. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, proud producer and coordinator of this episode on Incandescent Radio, Incandescent TV, and Incandescent Books, of course, where we're always trying to shine a light on authors like this amazing woman, Andrea Walton. So welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Hope, and thank you for the invitation. So happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have met you. You know, to our audience, I met Andrea because I met her daughter, who is this amazing, amazing, gorgeous, fantastic woman who has also been featured on the Empowered Together Network. She works at Slater's Market, which is right around the corner from me, a wine and cheese shop, which is amazing. And she said, you have to meet my mom. And then there are other women there that are working with Andrea. So before we launch into our Q&A, let me just tell you a little bit about this lady. She is an MBA. She is the founder and CEO of the Concrete Rose Scholarship Foundation, which is based in Alexandria, Virginia, and also Cape Town, South Africa. And there's more to that story, way more. It's going to be really the focus of what we're talking about. But her story began years ago in California, before she became a seasoned HR executive, published author, and purpose-driven philanthropist committed to building pathways to education for Black and brown girls around the world. She lived in Southern California and had quite the experience. So I'm not going to tell you all about her. I am going to ask her to tell us. So Andrea, take us back to the beginning. Where'd you come from?
No, thank you. So born and raised in Pasadena, California, to a single mom with one brother and one sister. So I'm a middle child. Our very independent middle child syndrome, probably. And at 14, I became pregnant. And just some additional context and background, my father was not in the home. We lived in Community Arms Apartments. That's the name of it. All concrete, right? Planned apartments, and not the safest neighborhood, but amazing people. And in that environment, was dating too early, got pregnant and hid it from my mom for almost 5 months. I didn't go to the doctor. Initially I was just scared and petrified. And what do you do when you're 14 and you find out that you're pregnant? And what I did is I suspected I was, and I decided to sneak my Medi-Cal stickers, because at the time, and the welfare recipients would get Medi-Cal stickers, and you only had 5 to go to the doctor five times per month. So I snuck it out of my mom's purse. I made an appointment and walked to the doctor, to my pediatrician, and she was like, "Where's your mom?" And I'm like, "I just need to get a pregnancy test." And she comes in, and after the test, and she goes, "Well, you're pregnant." She goes, "So what are you going to do now?" And I was like, "I don't know." And I walked home sad and depressed, because I wasn't sure what to do. And finally told my mom maybe some weeks later, and she cried, of course, and was just like, "Andrea, what are you going to do?" There were points in my life where everyone was like, "What are you going to do?" And once I became pregnant, I had to drop out of school. I'd gotten so far in the pregnancy that I'd drop out, and I had a high risk pregnancy to add to it. And I found myself on March 3rd, 1992, after 36 hours of labor at 15 at the time, pushing out my oldest daughter, Naomi, and going home thinking, now what am I going to do? And so I was out of school, out of high school until about 19. And I decided, the only way to change the trajectory of my life is to go back and get my high school education. That was like the first step. The thought of even getting a college degree seemed like so out of this world. And so I decided to study for it. And we didn't have a vehicle at the time. And I had a 10 speed and a burgundy 10 speed. And the GED was a two-day test. And so I decided I was going to take the bike. But the days of the test, it was rainy in Southern California. And so I rode my bike in the rain both days, and took the test and waited a few weeks and passed. And I knew from that moment that changed the trajectory. And I felt like if I could do this, I could do anything.
Wow. 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 That is just amazing. All right. So tell us more. So you passed the GED. you had studied for it. You dropped out of school. I want to ask you a question after I ask this question about, is that what you would recommend for other students? But before we go backward, let's go forward in your life. So you got your degree, and then what happened?
So I got my high school certificate, and at the time I'd always wanted to model. And so I had, sent some pictures to Ebony magazine, which is very huge, Black American magazine, through Johnson's Publishing. And so I was working at an insurance company, as like the admin, and I also sent my pictures. And I got a voicemail that they wanted me to come to Chicago and be a part of Ebony Fashion Fair and model and travel and represent the magazine. And so here I am, this teen mom coming out of Pasadena. I have an opportunity to live out my dream. And my mom said, go, I'll keep Naomi while you do this. And so for almost about a year and a half, I was gone from home and modeling. And that not only was a dream job for me at 21, but also it taught me poise. I mean, I had to go out on stage in front of thousands of people nightly. And it taught me how to carry myself poised, and I carry that poise. And so I always think of that kind of chapter as one that wasn't just, ooh, I get to model and do all these fun things, but I also get to learn how to just approach audiences, whether it's one-on-one or larger groups. And so I did that. I got home and I was like, okay, well, I need to get my undergrad because I need to create a future. And so I was working at a credit union, went and got registered for my undergrad. And while I was working during the day, I was going to school at night and got my Bachelor of Science in Criminal Justice because at the time I wanted to be a prosecutor. It was wasn't too long after the O.J. Simpson trial, and I just thought Marsha Clark and Darden and of course also the defense. I just thought it was so amazing. I was like, I want to do that. So I got my undergrad in criminal justice while working at the credit union, and the vice president of HR, Michelle Esser, who I owe my career start to, said, you'd be great as a recruiter in HR, your great personality and so on. And I had never thought of that. She got so long story short, I ended up working for her, and that's how I started in HR.
Wow, that's amazing. So you're in HR, and this is like taking you. So what happened to the dream of being a lawyer?
Well, that went right out the window. But what I love about the education process is, I got my criminal justice degree, and you study, of course, all the majors, but all the minors. But even the compliance part came in handy when it came to working and building my career in HR. And so I worked for the credit union, and then Coca-Cola called me, and I was hired there as a recruiter. And I got to support teams in Los Angeles, Arizona, Hawaii. So that was like my first big girl job. I was getting on a plane and I had a corporate card. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And I was starting to make some real money. And then did that for a bit, but I knew that ultimately, God, I could really make a career out of HR. I want to be a chief people officer. I want to lead this. And so I left Coke because I needed to get out of the recruiting space. If those that are in HR understand, if you get kind of stuck in like a certain position or role, you can stay there. And so I brought in where I wanted to go, and Target called, and I ended up being the executive HR for a store in Los Angeles, Store 2020 in Northridge, had about 280 employees, and I did everything end-to-end HR. And in that role was really where I learned the hard knocks of HR, operations, employee relations, all the things that I needed to then take myself to the next level. After that role, Nestle USA called me, and I was at Nestle, and Nestle is where I grew my leadership and grew kind of all the components of being an HR professional. And I was at Nestle for almost 8 years, moved from Southern California to Virginia. And in my almost 8th year at Nestle, a company 2U, which is an ed tech company, they were hiring for a vice president of HR. This was like my door into senior leadership. And as much as I love Nestle, I knew I needed to leave in order to get to the next level. And I will tell listeners is that sometimes you've got to walk away from what's comfortable in order to achieve the next level. And that is what I did. I could have stayed at Nestle, but I also knew I wanted more. And so I went to you as vice president. We had teams here in Atlanta, Maryland, of course, across the US and also South Africa, which was one of the reasons why I took the job because of some of the offices there in South Africa, but we can get to that. And then I was there for a bit. A chief people officer role came across my email. I interviewed for it at an edtech company, my first C-suite role, and only 4% of Black women are at the C-suite. So it was just an incredible opportunity for me to take. I did that and kind of sharpened my chops at the C-suite, and then finally took this last role as chief people officer of a biotech company in Boston, Massachusetts, and really got just comfortable in my leadership, right? Like comfortable in my skin as a leader, and was there for over 2 years. Recently, the company shifted from public to private. I helped lead that merger and acquisition. And now I'm leading my own consulting firm, Concrete Strategy. So that is the long story of my career.
Well, it's a beautiful story and really impressive. And, you've done so much and really pulled yourself up, which is an inspiration, clearly. So let me ask you this question. What do you think it is in you that has allowed you to accomplish all of your successes?
Bottom line, grit and resilience. My mother, who is in California, our matriarch, taught me the power of prayer. And so, along with grit and prayer and my faith, that is what's in me to keep going. I've always known there was more. I knew that I didn't have to stop at being a teen mom. Statistically, once you become a teen mom, you have another child within a year. And that is your life. I didn't want that to be my life. And I always saw myself, on larger, bigger platforms. I couldn't articulate what it was, but I felt it. And so I'd say on the inside, it was grit, resilience, and my faith.
Wow. So let's keep going down this road. Why do so many young women struggle with this and stop? I mean, there's something in you that made you keep going.
That is such a powerful and great question. Not just with young women, but just in life in general. Not everyone is up to fail. Failure stops most people. It didn't stop me. And I think if we can understand that failure is a part of this journey, and you're supposed to fail spectacularly and often, that is the only way you get to the next level. And so I just didn't stop at failure. And I fail all the time. I still fail. I just don't stop at failure.
Oh, that's amazing. I think I've heard of it called a fail up, right?
Yes. Or fail forward. Yes. Like I think you can tell when someone is learning from failure when there are new failures. When it's repeated failures, that is a sign that there is not learning, or there's something tough that they're not picking up. But if you're failing up or failing forward, new failures, that means you're learning. And many people, unfortunately, young women, young men, all of us, we have a tendency, when it comes to that fight or flight, to protect ourselves. And once we fail, we stop because I don't want to feel that again, or I don't want to experience that again. But actually, that's a sign to keep going.
Oh, I love that. Yes. And, that introspection. I think we're seeing this around the country, especially right now, that, we're not just not. We're not looking, we're not doing the right thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we'll talk all about that. There's so many things I want to talk about with you, but let's go to your books next.
Yeah.
Do you have them in front of you? Can you hold them
Oh,
up?
what? I should have. They're right upstairs. I should have brought them down with me. I didn't even think about it,
I
but
should have told you to.
no worries. I have two books, self-published. They're both on Amazon. The first one is From GED to MBA, and it really just talks about what I shared a moment ago, my journey from being a teen mom to getting my GED and then achieving my MBA.
Oh, and the second one?
Second one is called All the Smoke, From Pain to Purpose. And This one is kind of the next chapter in my life. If we, you know, the first book is about dealing with the struggles and systemic and all the things. This next one was about me achieving all of this great corporate success and dealing with domestic violence at home. In my second marriage, I dealt with that and verbal, physical, all of it, financial. And I continue to have success in my career in parallel to the abuse. And so what I share in the book is how work became my safe space, my outlet. And I think that's what accelerated the success, which is in a weird way, because I ran to that because I did not have the tools at the time to run and get help. And so I encourage women or anyone that's dealing with domestic violence to please reach out and get help. But that book really chronicles that scary chapter, and parts of it successful. It's just like this weird dichotomy of things that were happening in my life. But, I am just grateful that I survived, that my kids and I are in a safe place and happy and healthy. And that is what the book is about, is sharing my story. So hopefully it helps someone else to speak their truth and get the help they need if they're in the same situation.
That's amazing. And you have three children.
I do. So Naomi is 33, and she lives here in Alexandria. Amazing young woman, works for the State Department, just incredible. Nikayla, who you've met, is 25 on the 14th, so just in a few days. She is a Towson University student, a PR major, and she works at Slater's, and just all around, just so funny, beautiful girl. And then Gregory is 12. He's a seventh grader. Loves all things sports, and is an incredible engineer even at this age. So I'm blessed. I'm just overwhelmingly blessed.
And talking about, you know, what you call failure or just, you know, things that happen in life when you have to figure out what to do, right? You also suffered another tragedy recently. Do you mind sharing that with our audience?
So my back in 2022, as I was going through a separation from my abusive husband. He had moved to another state to live with family while we were going through this process. And of course, I continued to shield my son from as much as I possibly could. And while we were in separation, he passed away from a sudden heart attack. And I have to tell you that when the words are coming across the phone that your spouse, regardless of the situation, has passed and passed suddenly, there were a lot of feelings. The first one was sadness for my son because I'd have to tell him that the next day. I decided to wait and tell him the next day, and I knew that he would just be ripped to pieces. The second was regret that we didn't get to a place where we could work out or find common ground in our marriage. And it's just what I thought it was and what it became. And so it was so many feelings, and it's still so many feelings. But I have to say, I put my son and I through therapy and grief counseling over the past few years, and he has continued to grow and thrive. And we have conversations when he's ready to have them. But an unexpected death of someone who you want to get away from, and you have a child that loves their dad. It's just such a weird space. And I continue to work through all the feelings, that I have coming up.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I think, you know, a lot of women are going through things that they don't, you know, like unexpected. You think it's one thing and then it's something else. One of the books I've written called Why Divorce is These 5 Reasons to Leave. And then something crazy like that happens and you're like, wait, wait, what?
That's right. So it's been what a journey it's been. But my son is doing so great, and as he gets older, he, you know, his dad was 6'4". He's looking like his dad as he gets older. And I said, one day you're gonna turn a corner. And I'll be like, you know, I'm gonna say, like, you look like, because he's just growing. He's so handsome and loving and kind, and the best the very best of both of us. So he's a great kid.
Yeah, that's all we can ask for, right? We pay it forward with just the good stuff.
That's right. That's it. That's it.
And I think, my sister and I were recently having that conversation about, what she and my brother and I all chose differently than the way we were raised. And our kids, like, we could not be prouder of these seven children. So,
Awesome. That is awesome. That's what you want. That's what you're
yeah.
looking for.
Yeah, that's the game, right? All right. So now the finale here. You have an amazing nonprofit organization. Please tell us about the Concrete Road.
Yes, I'm so excited about it. So part of my giving back or paying forward has been wanting to pour into the lives of Black and Brown women who had similar upbringings. Like mine, super smart, brilliant, amazing, just like they lack access and resources. And so one of my goals was to create a scholarship foundation where I could give back. Now, am I at the levels, as I mentioned to you, of Oprah? Not yet, but I will get there. But right now I share what's in my hands and what I can help with. And so I started the foundation and the scholarship back in 2020. It was originally called the Andrea Walton Scholarship. But, as I started to think about and reflect about my own upbringing and what it should really be called, it doesn't need to be have my name to be powerful. And Concrete Rose Scholarship really represents the City of Roses, Pasadena, California, where I was raised, and then the community in which I grew up, which was all concrete, and the ability for myself and young women like me to still bloom in hard places. And so I started in 2020. I now have this phenomenal partnership with the University of Cape Town and recently with Howard University. But even before those, I launched it online and had students apply and give out the scholarships after a quarter of applications. And so far, I've given out close to $10,000 in scholarships to students in the last 5 years, and I will continue to do that. My goal is to get to a place where I'm giving out $100,000 a year. And establish a presence not just in South Africa and here in the US, but also in South America. So the Concrete Rose is why I'm on the planet. I didn't go through those trials for nothing. My testimony is to give to young women who need access and resources to achieve their goals.
Oh my God, it gives me chills. That is so beautiful, so amazing. I have no doubt that you are going to accomplish that goal. And as we were talking before we launched into our recording, I'm gonna hook you up with some of the other amazing organizations that are helping young women around the world. So maybe we can all come together. And Incandescent Kids will be live this summer, so that's a good place where we can have these students all talk to each other because we're in this together. That's what the Empower Together Network is, right?
That's right.
And let's bring these young people up so that they at least feel like they're not alone, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As we can educate them and bring them into the fold, right? We're just one big family. We've kind of like made it so long and difficult that road, but if we just kind of bring it back into these tribes,
That's the whole point is we don't have to do this work in silos. It doesn't all have to be on my back or shoulders or yours. But if we do this collectively, it eases the weight of it and our reach can be more profound, right? If you want to go far or go fast, what's the proverb? If you want to go far, go alone. If you want to, or go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I think for us to go far, we've got to go together.
I love that. Yes. Your wisdom is so amazing, built on hard-earned from experience. Yeah. So let me go back to that first question that I wanted to ask. So looking back, you dropped out of high school. Would you A, do that again, and B, would you recommend that to others?
Oh, well, no, absolutely not. I mean, one, I want folks to, young women and young men to continue to stay in school and get their education. So no, I would not recommend the path that I took. It was very hard. Would not recommend. I think when you have limited choices, you have to make the right choices for you. And that choice at the time was the right choice for me to focus on raising my daughter and getting her the necessary resources she needed as a new baby. And then once I got my footing, then I was able to go back and secure my education so then I could make our lives better. But would I recommend that path? Absolutely not. But if you get into a situation, if someone's listening, they're like, well, I'm there. I've made some mistakes. I'm there. Failing is not fatal, right? You can turn around. You can make different choices and turn about. So I would not recommend, but if you do, if life starts lifing, it's not a reason to give up, right? It's so I continue to make the decision that will put me on a path to ultimately turn my life into a success story.
You've touched my heart. I want to cry from, pride of knowing you and inspiration that, and the work you're going to do to help others. I think that's the big win. Your children, of course, your gorgeous children, but also all the young people who need guidance and the proof that, you can do this. You just have to keep going one
Yes.
foot in front of the other.
That's it. That's it. That's it. And I'm so just overjoyed with the opportunity to see where this goes. I'm excited.
Oh, I'm very excited to be standing next to you and helping with this project and this process. It's really an honor to introduce you to all of our family, our incandescent family, Andrea. I'm so happy to have met your daughter and now you and your amazing team, right?
So much.
Salam, I mean, another woman at Slater, Salam,
Yes,
she actually brought us together. And
Salam.
shout out to her, gorgeous woman.
Yes. She's been incredible. I mean, the people that I just believe that God has just intentionally put in my path to broaden this work has not been an accident, whether it's meeting you or Salam. And so I'm open to receive, everyone that is a part of this work and can help me with this purpose.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Thank you. Thank everyone. So we're gonna talk a lot more about the Concrete Rose and how you can participate. And we're gonna bring some of these students that she has helped into the forefront because everyone has an important story to tell. And right now we need to be telling lots of stories and talking to each other and giving each other big hugs virtually or in person because it's a crazy world out there on July 11th, 2025, when we're recording this. But that's why we are the Empowered Together Network. So thank you, Andrea. Thank you to our audience. I'm Hope Katz-Gibbs, proud producer of this podcast and video show. And we will look forward to talking to you all very soon. Be incandescent.